and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Amen. All right, we're going to get started up here today. You said you're ready to be and glad to be in God's house today. So I hope that the word the Lord has for you today will be beneficial for you. And I know it will because he inspired me to bring this message. So I know there's somebody here today who needs to hear it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Weezy done covered it all. Amen. We certainly are rejoicing with Dustin and Rebecca this morning and having their baby. There's quite a story behind that too, because just to share a little bit about that, they weren't even sure they'd even be able to have kids. And now the Lord's blessed them with a child. Amen. So,
amen.
Hey, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
I want you to realize that and believe that. 2 Peter chapter 3. Title of the sermon today is Jesus is Coming. For those of you that like to take notes, there's an insert in your bulletin there. If you don't have one, we got some extra copies up here. If you need one, we'll be glad to get you one. How many of you know Jesus is coming for a second time? Amen.
Amen.
The first time he came was when he was born and he was laying in that manger. The second time he comes, he's coming to take his church home.
Amen.
We are his church, those of us that are born again believers. He's going to take us on to be with him, and that's going to be a great day. That's going to be a great day. Now, when that day is, I can't tell you. But I know this, you better be ready for it. Amen. You can't prepare after the fact, because then it's going to be too late. And that's one thing I want to talk to you about today. Those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to read verses 3 through verse 9. We're going to focus on those verses today from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 9. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that men was, or that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father God, we ask now your blessings on the reading of your word. Father, let nothing that is said here in the next few minutes be about anything other than you and your kingdom, Father. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to descend on this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, as we read in verse 3, in the last days there are going to be scoffers who are going to mock the truth and follow their own desires, aren't there? They're going to be scoffers who are going to mock the truth and follow their own desires. That's happening right now, isn't it? People are making fun of God's word. They're not honoring God's word. They're not obeying it. They're kind of doing their own thing. It's almost like we have these pseudo-religions that are outcropping out of Christianity. For whatever reason, people are finding it necessary to just take God's word and just pick and choose what they want to talk about and what they want to preach about. So these scoffers, this is nothing new. This has been here for a long time. It was here in Jesus' day. People scoffed at him and mocked him and made fun of him and didn't believe him. If they didn't believe him when he was right there with them, can we really expect a lot of them to believe in him now? Because, I mean, they saw Jesus, they saw the miracles, they saw all of that, but yet they still scoffed at him. These people are going to question the promise that Jesus is coming again. Well, okay, where are you, Lord? You told us you're going to come again. Here we are 2,000 years later after your death. But we haven't seen you yet. They're going to question, they're going to argue that everything is the same since it was from the creation of the world. Everything's the same. Well, guys, let me tell you something. Everything is not the same. Because every day that we live and every day that advances from this day forward gets us one day closer to Jesus and the tribulation beginning. I want you to understand that. So see, it's not the same as it was. Yes, there's been over 2,000 years that have elapsed since Jesus. And by the way, to help you understand this, the final days technically began at the crucifixion of Jesus. And they're moving forward as each day goes. How long that's going to be, I can't tell you. But I can tell you this, we better be ready for it, amen? We better be prepared for it. Because when that day comes, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, there'll be no second chances. I think people think they've got all the time in the world they need. You know, what these people fail to remember here is that God made the heavens long ago by His command. And He brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Hey, here's what God did. God is so powerful and awesome. He said, mountains appear. He said, water appear. He said, animals appear, stars appear. Hey, if anybody can speak that kind of stuff into existence, don't you think He's going to keep His promise? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. I believe He's going to keep those promises. If He is that awesome and that powerful that all He had to do was speak these things into existence, then He's going to hold true to His promise. The problem is we're getting what? Impatient, right? We always feel like God's a step behind when we pray, right? We always feel like that our prayer ought to be answered yesterday and we just offered it up today. But guys, I'm telling you what, God's always got our best interest at heart, amen? He's always going to be working for us and toward our good and for our good. We just got to understand that. See, He commanded that all these things happen. He brought this earth into existence. But that wasn't always pleasing to God after He created this earth, because along comes people. Along came a thing called sin, right? See, that's what's messed everybody up. Do you realize that everything we suffer from today can be traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden? That's where it all began. The suffering, the death, the cancer, the disease, the broken homes, the broken marriages, all of this is a result of sin. It wasn't my fault, man. Let me just go ahead and clarify that. Had Adam and Eve not fallen into temptation, of course, I'm an outcrop of that now. You got to understand that. Had this not happened, this whole story would be different. But it has. And as a result, sin came into the world. So God chose to destroy the earth the first time with water. God looked down, He said, I am not pleased with what I'm seeing here. I'm not happy with what I'm seeing here. People are being disobedient. They're disobeying me. They're not living their lives for me. Noah, I recognize your family as being a godly group, and I'm going to commission you to do something. Boy, I bet Noah didn't realize what he's fixing to get into, did he? Because for years and years after that, his project was ongoing. God said, I want you to build this huge boat. I want you to build this ark. And you and your family only will get into that boat, and all of these animals that I'm going to bring up to this boat, you're going to get in there. I'm going to provide the food for them. We're going to take them in this ark, and I'm going to flood and kill everything else on this earth with water. Now, here's Noah, first of all. First of all, he said it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. There hadn't even been rain on the earth at that point in time. So I'm sure Noah was a little confused by that. But see, God chose to destroy the earth the first time with water. But guys, guess what? He's storing these present heavens and earth for the final judgment, which in the end, the earth is going to be destroyed by what? Fire. The second time around, God is going to destroy this earth as we know it by fire. Jesus is coming. I want you to understand that. I'm not up here to try to scare you to death. I'm not one of these preachers that likes to just run down and get up in your face and say, you better come on down this altar right now or you're going to burn in hell. First of all, I'd be out of breath if I did that too often, amen? So I'm not one of these that runs down and does that, but I certainly don't ignore the fact that hell is a very real place, amen? There's a lot of preachers don't even discuss that word. That's taboo to them. They don't mention that. Why? Because it makes people uncomfortable. Well, guess what? Hell's going to be an uncomfortable place, amen? It's going to be very uncomfortable. I've heard people even be so bold as to make the comment, well, we'll just keep partying in hell. No, you won't. You know why? Because you're going to be in isolation. You're going to be in eternal darkness. You're going to be broken out from head to toe with sores. You're going to be in heat intense, seven times greater than the temperature here on this earth now. How do I know that? We did a year and a half long study in the book of Revelation, and God's word says that. So it's not going to be this big get together down there. It's going to be a place of doom and isolation, separated from your loved ones who are in heaven. So guys, listen, when that fire comes during God's final judgment, during this time, all ungodly people are going to be judged, and it's going to result in the earth being destroyed by fire during that final judgment time. Now, I talked this morning, I had to teach the youth because Alicia is still gone to be with her grandmother who broke her hip, and she's trying to help out with that. So we talked about this a little bit, and I wanted to make sure everybody understand. There are two judgments that we're going to have. Okay, when Jesus comes back, there will be two judgments that people will face in the end. One of them is the judgment seat of Christ. That is for born-again believers who will receive their heavenly reward based on what they did here on this earth. The other is called the Great White Throne Judgment. That is for unbelieving man. One of them, you're going to hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, come on in." The other one, these are the words that are going to be said by Jesus. "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." Now, I can't say which one you're going to hear. Only you know where you're headed. Only you know if you've got a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope and pray you do, and I hope and pray if you don't, that you will very soon. Because we don't know when all of this is going to begin. You see, the way this is going to start is there's going to be this guy that's going to come on the scene that we refer to as the Antichrist. Now, there have been a lot of Antichrists that have already come and gone in this world. People who are against Christ and Christianity. That is not the Antichrist I'm talking about. The one I'm talking about, when he comes on board, he's going to be bringing this message of peace. Everything's going to be good. I'm going to help solve all the problems of the world. But guess what? He's nothing more than the devil in the flesh. He's going to mislead man. And after about 3.5 years of that, we're going to go from the tribulation into the great tribulation. I want you to understand there's two different tribulations we need to be aware of. The first one, yes, those that are still alive, believers that are still alive, will be in part of that. But then about halfway through that 7-year period, Jesus is coming back. Amen. And he's going to rapture the church away. Those believers that are still alive here will be caught up. Those that have already gone on to be with the Lord will be caught up ahead of them. And we will inhabit the new earth together. Amen. As that happens. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
That's going to be a great time, isn't it? When all believers are reunited. Just think about this. All of our loved ones will be back with them. That's why I'm telling you, it's not that far away, guys. Yeah, it seems like a lifetime to us, but as we're going to read in a minute, that's just a little bit. It's not that far away. During this judgment, all these ungodly people are going to be destroyed and will have missed out on eternal life with Jesus Christ. Man, I couldn't even imagine that. Could you imagine having done all of this work on earth, serving God, being faithful to Him, and then that just be the end of it when you die? Man, I'm glad that God loved us enough that He sent His Son into this world to die for us, and He's preparing a place for us right now. And if He goes and prepares that place, guess what? He's coming back to get us.
Amen?
He's coming back to get us. He's not going to leave us here in this misery. Yeah, we're going to face it while we're here, but it's not forever. And that gives me comfort, because some days I'm like, Lord, it just can't get much worse than this. Oh yeah, it can. If you're a non-believer, it can get way worse than this. Amen? And it's going to be way worse than this one day if you don't come to know Jesus as your Savior. So you see, the real issue here that we're dealing with, guys, is not that Jesus hasn't returned, but rather Jesus is coming. That's what we need to be focused on. We can't forget with Him. It said in the scripture here in verse 8 that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day with Jesus. You know what that tells me? God's not concerned with time. We're the ones that are concerned with time. We're the ones that think we have to do this at a certain time and that is at a certain time. And I understand there are time restraints we have to face, right? If you're late to your job, you're going to eventually get fired. If you're late long enough, right? If you're late to school, you're going to get in trouble for being constantly late to school. We have to follow a time schedule. But guess what? God does not operate on a time schedule. You know why? Because He owns time. He's in control of time. Time is not of the essence to Him. He's taking His time for a reason and a purpose that we're going to learn about here in just a minute. So 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years to Him. In other words, time is irrelevant to Jesus' return. God's got a reason why He hasn't sent His Son back yet, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Jesus is not being slow about His promise, as some people think, but rather He wants everyone to repent. Aren't you glad that Jesus has given us a little bit more time?
Amen.
How many of you got loved ones, friends, family, co-workers right now that if Jesus were to come back, if this were the midway point of the tribulation right now, and Jesus came back today, they would end up in hell right now. If you know somebody like that, raise your hand. Everybody's raising hands around this place. Thank God that He's given us more time. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? We need not focus on how long it's been since Jesus was crucified, but rather on whether we're prepared to meet Him. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Are you prepared to meet your Creator? Whether you're prepared or not, guess what? You're going to meet Him one day. And I hope and pray you'll hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in." Only you can answer that question. I get asked this question all the time. How do I know I'm saved? Guys, if I haven't made that clear to you by now, I don't know how to make it any more clear. First of all, if you're truly a born-again believer, your life's going to reflect it. If you're still living like the world, there's a strong chance you may not have actually had that salvation experience. I'm not saying you didn't. You may have just kind of backslid and got off the path. But guys, you're going to know it if the seed of Christ is in you, if the Holy Spirit of God is in you. You're going to know that. Why? Because you're not going to continue to sin. You're not going to continue to deliberately sin. I didn't say you wouldn't ever sin. I said you're not going to continue to deliberately do it. Some people are just continuing down that path. We're going to meet Him one day. The Bible tells us that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. That's exactly how it's going to happen too. When that time comes and God says, "Go get my people," here's what's going to be happening. People are going to be walking around. Boom, one gets snatched up, the other one gets left. Two people are going to be laying in bed asleep. Boom, one is gone, the other one's left. You know why? Because one of them got the picture, one of them did not. So those that are left behind, that's it. That's it. Because you see, yeah, people can get saved during the tribulation, but only during the beginning tribulation, not the great tribulation, because all Christians are going to be gone by then. So you see, yeah, there's a possibility somebody could still get saved, but that's going to be in the front half of the tribulation. So guys, I'm telling you, it's coming. Jesus is coming. The heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And everything about this earth and on it will face judgment. Guys, we're going to face judgment. We're going to all be judged according to what we've done here on this earth. Good or bad, we're going to be judged for that. I don't know about you, but that makes me uncomfortable. How many of you, that makes it uncomfortable knowing that we're going to have to face God and God's going to have to judge us for what we've done here on this earth? That makes me uncomfortable. Because I feel like there's things that I should have done that I didn't, and I feel like there's things I did do that I shouldn't have done. But guess what? God is quick and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we call on His name for forgiveness. The problem is, some of us haven't asked God to forgive us for our past sins. We're continuing to live in them. If you truly have asked God to cleanse you, then there needs to be repentance, which means turning away from. So that's something that we got to be thinking about. But guys, there's going to come a judgment. Everything around us is going to be destroyed. And guys, because of that, we ought to be living holy and godly lives right now in the present. There's not a lot of holiness going on in this world, is there? There's not a lot of godliness going on in this world, is there? I'll tell you what, there's a lot of ungodliness going on in this world. But we're called to be above that. How many of you are glad that God didn't leave you where you were in this world when you accepted Jesus as your Savior? He elevated you to a new level. If you're glad of that, say amen.
Amen.
He raised you to a new level. He didn't leave you where you were. He started preparing you for where you're going. But see, some of us have not willingly accepted the assignment ahead of us, and that is to live your life for Him, to let there be a difference in your life, to reach others with the gospel. That's what it's all about. Guys, you can't get saved and just sit there. Well, I guess you could, but what good is that? I mean, I asked the young people today when I was teaching their lesson, I was like, what do you do when you have great news that comes into your life? What do you think the answer was? We want to share it with everybody. We want to tell everybody about it. Man, I won this award. I got MVP. I won this at school. I won that at school. What do we do when it comes to sharing Christ? It's like, the plague has suddenly walked into the room and we can't do anything. Guys, you ought to be happy about serving Jesus, amen.
Amen.
You ought to be happy about that. That ought to be something that you're not ashamed to share with anybody. You ought to be happy about that. Guys, we ought to be living each day as though it's our last potential day on this earth. You know, the problem with people in this day and age is that they think they always have time to get their lives in order, don't they? People always think, I'm going to get my life straight. I have heard people tell me to my face, preacher, I'm going to get my life straightened out one day and I'm going to start coming to church. And you know what? Some of those people that have told me that are in a graveyard right now. I can only hope and pray that in between the time they first told me that and the time they took their last breath that they found Jesus as their Savior. Because that's all you got, folks. That's all you got is that time between your birth and that dash, your date of death. That's it. That's the only time you have to make sure everything's right and in order. We always think we got more time. There's a word for that in the English language. You know how I know it so well because I'm bad about doing this. It's called procrastination. Anybody procrastinating here? Oh, quit lying. Raise your hand. I know. Look, I ain't have about 5 hands go up. I know some of y'all procrastinate because I've asked you about things before. Amen. hey, we've all procrastinated from time to time, haven't we? We've all put things off and just kept putting them off and putting them off. Then we finally get around to doing it and, you know, we ask ourselves, why didn't I do that earlier? That wasn't so bad. But we do that, don't we? But guys, your salvation is something you cannot procrastinate about, amen? You cannot keep waiting and waiting and waiting because you don't know how much time God's going to give you. Your waiting days may be over suddenly. I've been to too many funerals where young people, older people, middle-aged people suddenly snapped out of this earth and taken off this earth unexpectedly. They thought they may have had more time, some of them, but they didn't. I only hope and pray they were right with the Lord in that time frame. Guys, we're not guaranteed another second on this earth. Every day that God gives us is His gift to us. Do you realize that? It's a gift for you to be able to get up and come to this church today.
Amen.
That was a gift, amen? If you believe that, say amen and mean it.
Amen.
Amen. It's a gift for you to get out of bed every day, put your feet on the floor, get dressed, and go out to work or go do whatever it is you got to do. That's a gift. That's a gift. Some people don't consider it that. Some people consider it a burden. Oh, I've got to get up and go to work today. Man, you ought to be thankful you can get out of bed. You go down to that nursing home with me sometime and walk up and down those halls and walk in those rooms and look and see what you see. People in the bed cannot get out of bed. They can't raise their head. They can't feed themselves. And you complain about getting up and wanting to go to work the next day. Guys, we ought to be ashamed of that. God's given us a blessing of life and being able to get up and get about. What we do with each day can be our blessing to others. Do you realize that? God blesses you with another day. Bless somebody else by using it for something good. Use it for something good. We ought to be looking forward to that new heaven and that new earth that God's promised us. I know I am. Hey, I'm not in a hurry to get there, but I'm ready to get there, amen?
Amen.
If you're ready to get there, say amen.
Amen.
I'm ready to get there, but I'm not in a hurry just yet. You know why? Because there's a lot of other people I'd like to share Jesus with
Amen. Before
it's too late. I don't know how much longer I got on this earth. I hope God will bless me with a lot more years. That's up to Him. But I know one thing, I want to make the most of it. And I do realize Jesus is coming soon. Guys, when we as believers inhabit the new earth, it's going to be filled with God's righteousness. Do you realize? And finally, we will be without what? Sin. We're going to be without sin for the first time ever. Nobody's going to talk about anybody up there. Nobody's going to have to go to the doctor up there. Nobody's going to have to worry about somebody breaking in their house up there. Nobody's going to have to worry about coming down with cancer and dying prematurely up there. Nobody's going to have to worry about any bad thing ever happening to you again. No more sadness, no more sorrow, no more tears. Whoo, that gets me excited, amen.
Amen.
If that doesn't get you excited thinking about that, guys. Yeah, it's tough here on this earth. You know why? Because God don't want no junk, amen.
Amen.
God doesn't want any junk up there in heaven. He's preparing us for what he's going to give us one day. And that means we got to work hard down here. It's going to be tough. We're going to face trials and tribulations. That's all part of God's preparation for when Jesus comes back. And we all get reunited. What a day of rejoicing that will be, amen. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and do what?
Shout.
It didn't say, we'll shout the victory. It says, shout the victory. Amen. You know what? We need to be excited about some of those things. Amen. So brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. While we're waiting for all this to happen, let's make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. Let's try to live as pure and blameless as we can while we wait on Jesus coming back here to this earth. Can we do that? Can we do that? Don't get impatient with the Lord's return, because God is patient. Many more people will have time to get saved. Amen. I want to ask you a question right now. I want you to think about this. If this doesn't hit home with you, I don't know what will. How many of you have been saved in the last 10 years? Raise your hand. If you got saved in the last 10 years, raise your hand. What if God had came 11 years ago, sent his son Jesus 11 years ago? Where would you be right now? You ever thought about that? Those of you that just raised your hand and said, yeah, I got saved 10 years ago or less. If Jesus had come back 11 years ago, you'd be in hell right now. That's a sad thing to think about, and it's kind of scary to think about, isn't it? But because God is so patient with us, he's given us more time. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? He's given us each day for more time so that we can be the witnesses that he needs us to be in order to help lead others to a saving knowledge of him. Think about what I asked you just then. Where would you be if Jesus had come back the year before you actually got saved? You know the answer to it. You know the answer to it. So what are you doing with this time God's giving you? What are you doing with this opportunity God's giving you? He's giving you more time so that you can help someone else get on that Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to close by saying this. When we're born, some of you may not realize this, most of you do, some of you may not. When you are born, your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life. But guess what? By the time you become old enough to understand about salvation, your name gets taken off that book. And it does not go back in that book until when? You accept Jesus as your Savior, right? You know, some people are of the mindset, well, if I get my child baptized at birth, then that's good. Uh-uh, that's hogwash. Yeah, they're in the Lamb's Book of Life until they get old enough to understand about salvation. But I'm going to tell you what. Confession is made by the mouth unto salvation. You can't get there by good works, none of that stuff. You're not going to get there by that. By the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation, right? Amen. Guys, we got to confess. We don't know how much more time we got. Are you ready for Jesus to return? Guys, if you're not, there's a very simple solution to that. Believe on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. Romans 10:13, for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say might be, it says shall be. I want to encourage you to do that if you hadn't already. Guys, we don't know how much time we got. But I can tell you this, This old preacher, with the time he's got left, is going to try to share this gospel with as many people as I can. And I hope and pray you'll do the same thing. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for, Lord, you loving us enough and being patient enough with us to where you didn't see fit to just go ahead and just destroy this world already. You're giving us more opportunity and more chance to lead others to you. And for that, God, I'm eternally grateful, because I know there's a lot more of my friends and my family that need to come to a saving knowledge of you. And I just hope and pray that I can help them along that path, Lord. You're the one that saves. We are the planters of those seed. And I just pray, God, you'll help us to be willing planters of those seed in the lives of all of these people, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? 474. Let's stand and sing hymn number 474.